Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Chair. One, two. Now, welcome to Speak. You're probably wondering why my co-hosts are sparring, and it's very, very simple. If you're going to talk about Draymond, you got to learn how to fight. So let's talk about Draymond. Okay, 2016, Game 5, NBA Finals. Draymond Green, he hits LeBron James in the groin. He ends up getting suspended. Then you got to remember, last offseason, Jordan Poole, he punches him in October. The tension was at an all-time high. Later on in that season, Sabonis, he steps on him. He steps on Sabonis later on in that season. He gets suspended for game 3. Then last month, Rudy Gobert, he chokes him out. You can see it behind you. He's kind of like these guys, but a little more aggressive. Then Tuesday, he gets suspended indefinitely. He gets suspended indefinitely for hitting Yusuf Nurkic. So if you're going to talk about Dre on this show, you better learn how to fight. Time. To your corners, to your corners, to your corners, please. To your corners. It's a Speak family. Let's get
it.
I mean,
oh, look.
Get like that sometime.
It does. Draymond Green, in case y'all missed it, suspended indefinitely by the NBA after punching Yusuf Nurkic on Tuesday. In shocking fashion, Draymond Green, we do not know how long he will be suspended, but it's very simple, Joy, as we get things started, as the boxers are in their corners. Thank you for throwing in the towel. Yeah. I needed that. Did the NBA, Joy, take it too far with Draymond's suspension?
Y'all gotta get your cardio up.
You know what I'm saying?
Draymond. Hey, that's gonna work, though.
The NBA.
It's the tight suit. Too, though.
You don't have the flexibility. I feel you. I also appreciate you. Yeah.
That look like Devin Haney right there.
Yes, you did, man. That's great. Form.
There it is. I like it. No, I don't think they took it too far. The word indefinitely is kind of scaring everyone right now. It's making everyone feel like it's very permanent, or it's the entire season, or, you know, a very daunting word to use, indefinitely. But it really is just because they don't know how long they're going to suspend him for. They don't want to put a number on it, produce outrage, make it feel like it's too small, too big. And really, they just want to assess the situation properly, have the proper conversation. So I actually like that they use that word, because let's not rush to figure out what the issue is here. We all feel like Draymond is doing too much. Yeah. He is probably going through something. This is not basketball. This is not basketball related. This wasn't in the middle of a fight. This was, there's no reason for this. There's no reason for it. There's no place in the game for it. There never really was a place in the game for stuff like this. This isn't even an old school thing to do. So I think it's the proper way to approach the situation. I don't think that they're doing too much or taking it too far, because this is a conversation, as you outlined, that has followed Draymond his entire career. Is he towing the line? Is he going over the line? Is it basketball? Is it in the right place at the right time? Should we encourage it? Is this who he is? There's all these questions. And now with this particular incident and what's gone on so far this year, I think also building off of the incident with Jordan Poole last year, the conversation has become, okay, what's really happening here? Because this isn't what we need Draymond for as the Warriors organization. This isn't what we play basketball to do as a sport. So where are we with Draymond? What can we do to help Draymond? And keep this out of the game where it doesn't belong in the first place.
Agree in totality. I don't think the NBA took it too far at all. I think it took the NBA too long. They didn't take it too far. It took the NBA too long. Draymond Green needs more accountability. These on-court and off-court actions by Draymond Green have yet to substantially cost his team in a way that will make him change his actions. And we have all been there. If y'all are driving and you're looking for a parking spot in a crowded area, if that ticket's only $20, you might park there illegally. Why? Because you're thinking to yourself, paying to park going to cost the same thing. But if all of a sudden you see that sign that says, you will be towed, I bet you're going to move your car. Because that punishment, it is enough to scare you from acting in such a manner. But the punishments that Draymond Green has gotten thus far, they don't scare him. They do nothing. Even when you think about 2016, getting suspended for Game 5 of the NBA Finals, they still end up winning 4 NBA Finals in Draymond Green's career over 8 years. So he's thinking to himself, and I lost one, I still got 4 of them. Say something to me. Mm-hmm. I remember Draymond Green went to a podium after getting fined about $50,000. He said, I make $100 million. Yeah. What's that $50,000 going to do? So an indefinite suspension is enough of a suspension to hopefully change future behavior. You have to remember, you don't punish for the sake of inflicting pain. You punish for the sake of changing future behavior. That's parents to kids. That's teachers to students. That's coaches to athletes. You don't punish for the sake of inflicting pain. You punish to change future behavior. And I hope that this indefinite suspension 2-5 is enough to change future behavior. You think the NBA took it too far?
No, they didn't. They did the right thing with this one. You know, Draymond keeps having these different instances that happens and different accidents, I would call some of them. And he gets suspended, right? And we know how much he makes. Do you sit your games out? Do you come back and play? So there's no real, like, consequence for this. And Draymond's one of my dogs. I love Draymond. So I'm cheering for him, but I think it's more outside of basketball. I don't know what he has going on. It may be outside of basketball. Maybe the NBA needs to do a better job of, let's see who he really is. How can we help this guy? Because suspending him doesn't do anything, right? I think giving him some help, if that's counseling, if that's some support outside of basketball, and also maybe taking his money. One thing about athletes, majority of us, when you take our money, Joy Taylor, that's when we learn. Yeah. I don't care what coach say, and I don't care about getting suspended. I don't care about... Oh, wait, you're not paying me at all? Because he is making $25 million a year. That's a lot of money. Yeah, you taking that from me? So I think this is the step to changing, I guess, not just the narrative of Draymond Green, but just his attitude and trying to find a way to control the not the anger, but the passion. I don't even call it anger. I don't call it the passion. He's super passionate about the game. The yelling, the getting fired up, I think that's what makes the Warriors go. But he has to do a better job of controlling it. So if the NBA can do a good job of getting some help outside of basketball, right, for himself.
Yeah.
Because these things can occur outside of basketball. You're in traffic, something happens, and then boom. Next you know, you react to it. That's what happens to a lot of us in general.
Yeah.
I've been there. So get him some help outside of basketball and take his money. I think that's going to start changing some different things for him.
See, for me, I mean, yeah, I think the NBA was spot on. I think this is what they had to do. And for me, I just truly feel like it's time to worry about the player more than basketball.
Yeah.
And I think that since all these situations that Draymond has been in, it's been, how can we get him back on the basketball court? All right? We ain't 5 games, 6 games, whatever it may be. But how fast can we get him back on the basketball court? Oh, let's just fine him. Right now, this is letting me know, let's figure out what's going on with the player. And I think in this situation, the NBA did it right. I mean, you listen to KD come out like, man, I just hope my dog gets some help.
Yep.
This is a dude that played with you for multiple seasons, that's been in the locker room with you, that's done plenty of stuff off the court with you, business-wise, friendship-wise, whatever. And he's coming out saying like, man, I hope my dog gets some help. So I think for Draymond Green, I think the NBA hit it right on the nose, because let's try to do what's right for Draymond. Let's get him in some help. Let's try to get to the bottom of this to see why he's acting like this. We don't want him to lose his passion, but you can't be doing stupid stuff like that consistently on the basketball court. That's stemming from something else. Let's get to the bottom of it, and let's forget basketball.
And I feel like this is the first time, because I'm always been on Draymond Green's side, right? Because we're in a physical game. It's gonna get
no doubt
chippy. It's gonna get tough, right? I don't like you. You don't like me. We playing for ultimate goal. We gonna have some issues. But this is probably the first time I really was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Draymond wrong.
He tripping.
Mm-hmm. He really was like, bop.
Yeah.
Man. You know what I'm saying? The other ones, I justify them. Yeah. Like, oh, you grabbed on my foot. If I come down on your body, hey, you grab my leg. Or even with
LeBron,
don't step over me, homie. Yeah. I'm a grown man. Don't do that. So all these different ways he's done things, I kind of gave him a pass. This is the only one that's like so clear cut. Like, yo, you super duper wrong, bro.
I've said Joy for a long time. I've said for a long, long time, Draymond Green needs to change his ways.
Reason I think Draymond Green needs to change his ways is because we give way too much liberal freedom for a player to lack emotional discipline. Think about Draymond Green. Let's think about how supernatural this dude is. He has incredible physical discipline. You have to train your body nonstop 24/7. Yeah. Think about the fact that we tell Draymond Green, sprint as fast as you can, but stop on a dime. Jump as high as possible, but watch where you land. Draymond Green has as much money as one can have, but he doesn't live that liberally. Why? Because he has financial discipline. So you got physical discipline. You got mental discipline. You got financial discipline. But for whatever reason, when it came to emotional discipline, we're just like, yeah, but that's Draymond Green. He can't control himself. If you can control yourself physically to the most elite of elite of elite levels, if you can control yourself financially, fiscally, to the most elite of elite of elite levels, if you can control yourself mentally to the most elite of elite of elite levels, my issue is Draymond. I want to hold you to the same level emotionally, the same level we hold you to physically, financially, mentally. I want to hold him to that same standard.
But that is why we all fell in love with Draymond too, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, you start buying into that stuff. So when you're listening and everybody in the stadium and the arena is, you know, Draymond is our emotional leader. You know, as Draymond goes, we go. You know, Draymond get a couple of these texts. Oh, we need some of them Draymonds on the team. Like, all that stuff was said as well, too. And now all of a sudden you're telling me to stop it. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, I have all that other discipline, but this emotional discipline is what got me being a leader on this team, what got me being a dog on this team, what got all these dudes following me on this team. And yes, it's certain times to where he takes it too far, but that's what really made Draymond. So just telling him to flip the switch on that is tough. And that's why I think in this situation, you got to get to the bottom of it and figure it out and get the I'm going to say the young fella, even though he got gray in his beard. The young fella some help, man.
Well, he's not a young fella, but he's a disruptor.
Yeah.
But the thing about being a disruptor is you can't just bulldoze your way into every situation. You've got to balance that with a little finesse. You have to know when to employ your disruptive nature. That's what he is. He has to find a way to harness his superpower. He's like the Hulk. He has to figure out a way to monitor it, to distribute it when it's necessary. The issue that we're having right now is this is not what the Golden State Warriors need. The Golden State Warriors needed this version of Dre when they were in their prime and they were winning championships and competing for championships and trying to build up their culture and identity. Right. And whatever we say about Draymond now doesn't change what happened then. That's why I really don't like doing the what ifs. Well, what if they had this guy? Maybe it would work. What if they had this guy? Or if he was this more controlled? It doesn't matter. The results are the results, and he was there and he was that way when they were there and they won those. So we can what if any situation to death. The issue is what James just said. That brought them success. But now it's not bringing you success. So you have to find a way to adjust emotionally. I don't think he's incapable of emotional control. It's not like he's doing this every single game. It's not like every time someone makes him upset, he's fighting them. But it's happening so frequently that it is disrupting their flow as a team. And I think that Draymond is established enough as a player and as a professional to understand at this point this behavior is actually affecting the team.
It's hurting
which them. Outside of the money, I think is the other thing that truly hits athletes. When the reality is that your behavior or your choices are being detrimental to your brothers, to your teammates, and you're seeing that, and you're seeing the results of you not being there or them having to answer questions on your behalf or the disruptive nature that it's causing in the locker room and with your season, when you are a player that's competed for championships, that may hit you as well.
Shady, I agree with everything Jory's saying, but it's interesting. I think that's why Draymond Green's behavior has been so hyperbolic to pass. Draymond Green is a caricature of Draymond Green. Think about, he's been ejected 3 times in 15 games he's played this season. So you're right, it doesn't happen every game, but it has happened 20% of the time. Shady, here's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you was like me. Growing up, you went to some church services, and the louder the pastor got, the more you realize he wasn't saying nothing. The more he started screaming, and wake up, the more you're like, wait a second, you're not really saying nothing. Yeah. So you are trying to subsidize your lack of actually dropping any bars and make up for your substance with charisma.
Yeah. He see usually.
That's where I think Draymond Green is now. It's like, Draymond, obviously, he realizes his skill set is deteriorating. Yo, he got benched in the NBA Finals 2 years ago. Really, a year and a half ago. He got benched. He got benched for poor play. And so, as a result, I think Draymond Green is even more so counteracting his deteriorating skill set now with this complete even more so actions detrimental.
I can't go with that. I think this has been Draymond from the start to now. I don't think it's anything to do with the way he's playing. He's acting more like this. I don't believe that part. I think this is who Draymond is. And also, I think of why he's been getting a pass for so long is because this is what made the Warriors. Think about this, though. They wasn't this before, right? You got Steph, who's a great player, but quiet, right? Klay, kind of quiet. You know, Draymond brings them alive. He's their heart. Yeah. Think about this, though. Growing up in basketball, right? You had guys like Steph, guys like Klay, that was really good shooters. Your coach gonna tell you, yo, we're gonna be physical with these dudes. They don't really talk back much. You going right? But you got a guy like Draymond, oh, this ain't going down like that. Yeah. Sidney Crosby, hockey player, right? And when I went to Pittsburgh University, that's when I went to school at, and he was the man there. And he didn't look like a super tough, like, this dude's the man, right? I didn't even watch hockey, so I'm this guy's man. But I learned, yeah, he's quiet, he's good, he's a good player, but he got them goons that make him alive. And I look at the Warriors, that's what they are. So as much as you want to pick at Draymond, like, I think we've all created this monster, though, right? Because we didn't check it before.
Agreed.
And the reason why we didn't check it because they in the primetime games, right? Steph Curry is changing the game.
Yep.
Play, changing the game. And it's like now we love the Warriors because they're winning games. They're going against LeBron James. They're beating them. They winning championships. Mm-hmm. So you love that era of basketball, right? And Draymond's that toughness that they had.
Yep.
But now it's backfiring because it's getting too crazy.
That's good.
And the Warriors are not winning.
Yeah.
And they don't look good.
Yes.
And that's why now we're like, you know what, let's drop the hammer on them. Boom. Mm-hmm. So as much as I blame Draymond Green, I blame fans. I blame people on TV.
Right. Yeah.
I blame the league. They should have been checked it.
Yeah.
So my man wouldn't get punched in the face or slapped in the face.
Brilliant.
Well, he slapped
brilliant, face. Brilliant, 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 brilliant take. Brilliant take. Because I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I agree. Remember, I said on the show yesterday, I said, I'm tired of Draymond Green's antics, and I'm tired of you if you're not tired of him. Because you're right. We are part of the problem. Steve Kerr is as well. Mm. Say what you want about Jordan Poole, and Jordan Poole doesn't have talent. Jordan Poole this, Jordan Poole that. Jordan Poole has a punchable face. Say whatever you want.
That's true.
But in what world you gonna allow, after winning an NBA title, y'all won a chip with that squad. You brought that squad back. The nucleus of that team was back. And in the offseason, Draymond punches Poole, and you can't even do anything about it. Warriors end up having suspension involvement in their organization. Kerr didn't check it.
Mm-hmm.
You missed game 5 because you hit LeBron James in the groin, and many Warriors fans will say it cost you an NBA title. Yeah. You don't check it then. Kevin Durant and you have beef after you allegedly beg him to come. You run hit Kevin Durant off, and you don't check it then. Yeah. We've just never checked it,
James. But that's the tough situation because we needed that.
Yeah.
The Warriors needed that.
I love
Draymond Green. You know what I'm saying? But now it's just getting out of hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, now it's just kind of like the stupid stuff. Come on. You ain't even got to do that. We don't need you in that situation doing that. You know, it kind of reminds me, you know, Shady is the only one up here with kids, but it kind of reminds me of the second child. You know what I mean? Like, my younger son, he cuckoo. You know what I'm saying? But we need him in the family, though. We need him to do that sometime. You know, like I tell my older son, something go down, run, go get your little brother. Because I know the little brother coming with bad intentions, and he finna do what he got to do. He ain't asking no questions.
Oh, he the one.
Right?
He the one.
You know what I'm saying?
He gonna make it.
You know, but sometimes I'm like, Jay, you can't do that. You know, but I kind of created that monster too, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I praised some of that stuff. You know, see you, bro. You was about to fire on him, huh? But you know, and he like, you know, so that kind of like fed into his ego, and he like, yeah, my brother need me. You know,
yeah.
My dad think it's funny or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And kind of, so that's what Draymond, for so many years, we like, the Warriors need that. They need Draymond doing that kind of stuff, and now we're just trying to cut it completely off because some of the stuff is just stupid.
This is going to be one heck of a show, family. If you are here, consider it an honor and a privilege because we're about to get spicy on this next topic. Travis Kelce, he took shots at the media, dropped a couple F-bombs, if I may. Killer Trav, you know we got nothing but love on you on this show. However, we got to check you. Somebody does for you coming at the media. That's next on Speak. Remember, check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel.
You think he's talking about me or just the other media?
Cause like, gotta be talking about you.
I don't know. You're kind of cool though. Like.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Y'all got to turn your volumes up for this one, family. You will not believe what Travis Kelce said. Now, understand, the Chiefs are struggling. They've lost 3 out of 4 games, 8-5 for the first time in the Mahomes era. What you are witnessing is the greatest blunder maybe in the Mahomes era, and thus Mahomes is irate about it. He's irate at the officials because after a play that would have likely won the game, he had to speak up. Here's Kelce speaking up.
There's a lot of media pointing fingers at some of the skill players that we have. I say that, and excuse my language, we usually cuss in lighthearted ways, but this is I felt like you guys had to feel that, whoever's talking on the skill players in our offense right now, man. It's this is a group effort, and when you turn the film on, what's real is that we got guys that can play this game.
Killer Trav, you're a friend of the show. You are a friend of the show, friend
my man,
of mine,
he my boy.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I gotta be honest. I gotta be honest.
You a Swiftie?
I am, but anyway, can I be honest?
I'm a Swiftie too, though.
Dog.
Swiftie, you a Swiftie?
Swiftie.
Are you that?
I like Taylor Swift. I like Taylor Swift.
Are you Swiftie?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Here's my thing, Shady. Travis Kelce, he went too far.
Did he?
Oh, wow. He went too far. First off, I got to do my job holistically. If I'm going to get mad at Dak Prescott for calling out the media and blaming the media after he got upset at us after they lost to the Cardinals, I also have to be like, come on, Kels. Come on, Killer Trav. What did we have to do with this? And let's be honest.
Why are you bringing us into this?
Why are we bringing us? And all we are doing as a media is saying what we see. That's all we're doing, saying what we see. What I see is that the skill players for the Kansas City Chiefs do not play the game of football like they are high IQ football players. I do not know if they are high IQ football players. I don't know if they are high IQ individuals. They just don't put on tape that they are high IQ individuals. Every Friday night, college, before the big game, our special teams coach, Shady, he would bring us all in. We would watch all the tape. And the final thing he would say is, say, gentlemen, but something on tape you can be proud of. Mm-hmm. What do you say? He would end every meeting for 4 years of my life. I heard that. Put something on tape you can be proud of. Dwayne Aquina. The Chiefs receivers aren't putting nothing on tape to be proud of. And we are just calling it out. Shady, that's your former teammate. You won a Super Bowl with him. That's your family. That's your friend. That's your brother. Anyway, did he cross the line?
No, he didn't. What's he supposed to say? Our players are dumb. they can't catch. They're not playing. He's supporting his teammates.
Yeah.
And if I was in his locker room like I was before, I would speak up for my teammates. And because the thing is, like, as the media, we only see what we see on Sundays.
True.
Right? That's what we judge. But I don't see when Kadarius Toney is at practice. If he drops a pass, he's at the jugs catching the ball over and over and over again. MVS. He didn't catch the ball really well in Green Bay. He's not catching the ball well with Kansas City. But I don't know after practice how much he's catching the ball, how much extra reps he's doing. We don't know those things. So he's just speaking on the behalf of his teammates. And I'm going to want my teammate to do the same for me. If somebody called you out on Twitter or called you out on whatever, I got your back.
Don't worry about Twitter, but other places.
Or I'm just saying in general, right? I got your back. And that's the only thing he's doing. And they have his back. I got Taylor Swift's back, too. And I want to say this, right?
Take his one shot.
I'm a Swiftie. Happy belated birthday, thank Taylor you. Swift. You know what I'm saying? On this show, on Speak, we got number love.
Number love.
Now win some damn games for the Kansas City Chiefs, please.
The records change now, right?
I know.
Wins and losses with her attendance.
Mm-hmm, yeah, started yeah,
that. I was rooting for her to come back to the game, but now, man, let me take that back. Yo, that back. Set yourself whole.
Did Kelce cross the line, Joy Taylor?
No, Shady's right. He's defending his teammates. I don't have a problem with people defending their teammates. I don't know if it's landing the same way with the camera and the headphones and the microphone on the podcast with the media, but that's just me. Like, if you in the media, I don't know what the shots with the media are. I don't defend the media much. We're nerds. We talk about what other people do for a living. I take what I do seriously, not myself seriously. We get the pleasure of watching sports and talking about it for a living. So it's not like we're, you know, splitting the atom here.
No question.
However, does anyone want the Chiefs struggling? Like, no. It's not good for us to be talking about this. We're fighting for our lives in this MVP conversation because Patrick Mahomes can't put up the numbers he usually puts up because they have all of these drops.
The most drops.
It's a factual statement they have the most drops. It's a factual statement that their offense is down this year. It's a factual statement their record is worse. We didn't even give our opinion yet. We're just reading facts. And sometimes when you're struggling, the facts sound like criticism. Mm-hmm. Actually, most of the time, that is how it's received. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're pointing out a very obvious thing that's happening? How dare you? That's what we get paid to do. The Chiefs are not as good offensively this year. Their defense has been very good. All of that's just facts. Now, here's my opinion. My opinion is these receivers are not on the same page with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason it is, maybe Kelce knows, maybe Mahomes knows, maybe Andy Reid knows, maybe nobody knows. Maybe it's just not working. Sometimes that happens as well. But at the end of the day, this is an organization that has been in the AFC Championship game for the last 5 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're not rooting against greatness. We want to see Travis Kelce have a great season.
No question.
Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. The Chiefs offense, they're an exciting team. So this isn't like the hater parade. It ain't the hater ball.
Yeah.
That's not what's happening here.
It's tough. And it's truly just frustration. We've never seen Patty react like that on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Now we got my man coming out here cussing on his podcast. They don't even really cuss like that, but he want us to feel it. You know, but at the end of the day, yes, I agree with Travis Kelce. You are a leader in that locker room, right? So the season is not over. You have to find a way to breed some type of confidence in them young fellas, right? Now, the crazy thing about this whole thing is I played the wide receiver spot. I dropped a lot of footballs, right? But I also stood up there like my man Devontae Smith stood up there. I know a lot of us probably seen the reporter say, man, what you got to do to catch that ball? Did you misjudge it? Just catch the effing ball. Mm-hmm. You know, that's right. What Devontae, right. Yeah. ain't nothing that's else it. I got to work on. I don't need to catch no more jugs and all. Catch the dang ball. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I haven't heard none of those boys come out and say nothing. I haven't heard none of those boys come out and be like, man, I got to make that play for Patty. Not Patty coming out and standing up to the podium saying, yeah, MVS, you know, not you coming out back, as you guys should. But at one point, they got to hold each other accountable. And you're right, Shady, we don't know how many extra passes they catch in that practice. They can stay after practice for an hour, be working with Patrick Mahomes. I've been in these slumps to where you're just not catching the football well. You just do not have the confidence. But as leaders of the football team, this is what you have to say. But it's on those young guys to get a switch and bring in the media in it. We just talking about what we see, bro.
Right, so I think we speaking on the media side, but let's just keep it. Like, go back to the ball player. Standpoint. It's some media dudes that I still want to today. One on media, but I don't like what they say.
100%.
And I'm like, how do you have the audacity to say this, say that?
Yeah.
Now, if you one thing you just said that I like is that before we even say anything, we're gonna read these stats.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't. It's not even an opinion when I'm saying they got the most drops of football or most dropped footballs in the NFL. Are we 8-5 now? We've never been that. Patrick Mahomes, the way he's looking with these wide receivers, he never looked this bad. So I get that point. But there's some dudes we watch on TV now that be saying stuff. I'm thinking like, what?
Yeah.
What you talking about?
No doubt.
And I gotta shut up because I'm on TV, so I can't get like that. But as a player, I'm like, you don't have no room to tell me that because you don't even know what you're looking at.
That's fact.
If I ask you what's wrong with the Chiefs' offense or wide receivers, what you gonna tell me?
Yeah.
That's only thing that's obvious.
Yeah, they dropped.
MVS dropped the pass. Mm-hmm. What about even small things like, oh, he ran the wrong route or. You know, Pat put the ball somewhere, and he should have been there. He
not
wasn't
at the
there.
Right,
like,
depth, small, not at the right
man,
angle.
You don't, they don't talk about that. So sometimes with the media, I feel Travis Kelce about some media people, they just be talking because they got a platform and don't have no idea what's really taking place.
But that's why, really quick, that's why I say it's frustration because they know that.
Yeah.
We all done been in the locker room as players. When you roll it, all the media up in there, everything good.
They smiling.
Once you slip just a little bit,
that's true. That is true.
To be honest with you, that's what the media wants. Like, they want you to slip a little bit, so
that's
now we can start asking these type questions. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, they've never really been in this situation, and it's a lot of frustration.
Sean. I think, here's the hardest lesson I had to learn in media, after media, as an athlete. Criticism is a cost of praise.
That's
and
true
I think
too.
Killa Trav got to remember that.
Yeah.
Criticism is the cost of praise. We praise the Kansas City Chiefs like nobody business.
Yeah.
One of the greatest dynasties in football. One of the greatest dynasties in sports. Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Andy Reid, the greatest coach ever. Travis Kelce, the greatest tight end to have ever lived. So we praise them exhaustively and extensively.
They earned
no doubt about it.
Okay.
But in the same breath, they have also earned this criticism.
Okay.
And so you can't just take the good and take the bad. I'm constantly reminded when I scroll social media, oh, Acho, you're amazing. Oh, Acho, you're great. Man, Acho, you suck.
Yeah.
Acho, I can't stand the way you talk. Acho, why you do this? I'm like, wait a second. I can't be mad at the Achos, you suck.
Yeah.
But then not be pleased with the Acho, you're the greatest. Criticism's a cost of praise. By nature of one, you will have the other.
That is true.
So that's what Killa Trav, in my mind, got to remember.
Also, If you wouldn't ask for someone's advice, don't pay attention to their criticism. Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry about what we're talking about.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. You don't need to worry about what we're talking about. You need to worry about what's happening on the field.
Right.
And you're right. The Chiefs are an organization we have expectations for.
Correct.
So when they don't reach the expectations, which, by the way, they have set for themselves by being great, then it is disappointing. If we had no expectations of them and they were struggling, we'd be like, well, that's what we expected them to do, is to struggle. We don't expect that. It looks different. The results are different.
Way different.
So there is no, there's no, nobody's lining up to take down the big bad Chiefs.
Never.
That is not good for business. So I actually, well, some people might be rooting for that.
Yeah.
I don't root for that.
Yeah, no,
I want everybody to be competitive.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch a dud game where there's no players playing and people are giving up on the season. That doesn't help work for us either. I think at the end of the day, the biggest thing is what you've said. They look different, and the results are different this year.
And the only reason, really quick, the only reason why I said that is because a couple of reporters used to tell me the best teams to cover at the time, because it was only 16 games, is an 8-8 football team. Because you're doing good and you're doing bad. You know what I mean? So you're able to really kind of ask all
negative.
Those questions. Yeah.
But hey, you remember that story I told you about why I never interfered and got involved with the media? You remember?
Yeah, I remember.
My second year in the league, right?
Tell this story.
Brian Westbrook, I love this story. Brian Westbrook goes to San Francisco. He was a starter, right? I was a backup. So they're like, man, now Westbrook did a lot of great things in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, what's Shady McCoy going to do, man? Like, he got a little boy body. He's not pooping this, that, third, right? I was so hot.
I feel
like,
you.
What?
I'm
looking for him, though, right?
Which one was it?
I don't want to say his name. I go to him, you know what I mean? That's him.
It was Howard.
And I'm about to check him, right?
Yeah.
And I look at him like, wait, you talking about me? Two left feet. His stomach was way up. I said, you know what? Big, thick glasses. Like, he's a squid. I said, you know what, bro?
Yeah.
Your opinion can't affect me as a player because
no doubt.
You can't even do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So you know what I did?
Yeah.
I didn't say nothing to him. Then, like, maybe a couple of months later, people say how good I was. It didn't affect me, though.
No,
the good stuff you say didn't matter, and the bad stuff it didn't matter because when I looked at you, you didn't get my respect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't even matter.
Joyce said it. You can't accept criticism from people you wouldn't accept advice
from. Mm-hmm.
And so I understand why he had to defend his teammates, but don't take shots at the media.
Because no,
for the most part, like you said, who are you listening to? And why are you listening
to? No doubt.
But also,
it's okay to diss the media, homie. It's okay to do it.
I mean, you're in the media, but what Jane said, though, is the point. Like, you can't, he said this weeks ago, talking about the MVPs and everybody coming out for their guys and stuff. Like, just put it on the tape.
Yeah.
Just put it on the field. Go get the results.
I mean, my family was worse than the media. I drop a ball, they calling
that's
me.
Facts.
You sorry as hell, boy.
But that ain't the world, though.
You know,
that's
I know.
Gonna be, that's
going
to be in James' household.
You know, come on, man.
Outside.
Just win and make plays,
that's
man.
It.
You get none of that.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all it is.
All right, when we return, a huge game Sunday. Cowboys, Bills, Dak Prescott's MVP. It quite literally could be on the line on Sunday. He could win it. He could lose it. But who has the early edge in this matchup? We're going to go through quarterback, coach, defense, offense, and who's the particular X factor player that will be the difference in the game on the other side of this commercial break.
Cowboys look.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area. So you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
Family, welcome in. We got to get right to it. Big game this weekend. Shady McCoy, ball security. I see a big dog. Big game this weekend. Cowboys, Bills, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy, Sean McDermott. So many names and so much game. We got to get to it. Who has the edge in this football game? Turn your volumes up. Kick back. Let's have some fun. LeSean McCoy starting with the head coach. Yeah, go ahead, big dog. Go ahead, big dog. Go ahead, big dog. Let's start with the head coach. Start with the head coach. Sean McDermott, Mike McCarthy. McCarthy has a Super Bowl, but McDermott, the last 6 years, has been coaching way better.
He's been better.
Who you like? Who got the edge?
I'm going with Sean McDermott. If you look at this team, they are hurt. They're injured on defense, some parts of offense, and he still has his team and a chance to get in the playoffs. And Sean McDermott has changed the whole culture of Buffalo.
I like it.
Don't let the Buffalo Bills forget what they used to be. He's chasing boys around.
He's preaching, but I am walking out of that service. I got Mike McCarthy as a coach who has the edge.
He's good.
McCarthy right now has been rolling in America. Though that Super Bowl got dust on it, it is still a Super Bowl, but most importantly, yes, I like what McCarthy is doing right now offensively. 2-5, let's talk about the conductors of the offense. The quarterbacks, Josh Allen, your former teammate, Dak Prescott, current MVP leader as it pertains to the odds. Who got the edge?
Dak is playing good.
But I'm going with Josh Allen, baby! Let's go!
I
want the better player, the better athlete, the better quarterback. You want to take these 6 games and give it to Dak Prescott? So be it. But if I asked you, who would you take? Dak Prescott or Josh Allen, who would it be?
Why don't you find out?
Who would it be?
Why don't you find out? Why don't you find out? My Vader's Grand White.
Oh, okay.
Josh Allen.
Okay.
Now look.
There you go.
Dak Prescott is playing better, but I believe that Josh Allen, he will rise to the occasion. If both of these quarterbacks play their best football, Josh Allen will play a better game. But shout out to what Dak has done this season. Now let's get to the offense.
Ooh.
Who has got the edge? Talk to me, 2-5.
Give me the boys. You got CeeDee Lamb. He's a top 5 wide receiver. He's a bad, bad boy. Who's my second guy? Oh, we got Brandon Cooks.
I'll take
him too. In the backfield, he's an all pro. No, he's not. He's a pro bowler.
Yes, sir, he is.
All pro was way different.
Anyway, Tony Pollard, baby. Give me the offensive line. I'm going to Dallas Cowboys. And Dak Prescott is balling right now. He's playing the best football I've ever seen. So far.
Let me just sit there and co-sign, co-signature. Dallas Cowboys got a better offense. I like Tony Pollard, unsung hero right now. Jake Ferguson at tight end.
Okay, Jake.
More than anything, the schematics of the Cowboys offense I like more than the schematics of the Bills. But shout out to Joe Brady, who took over as offensive coordinator 3 weeks ago. Let's get to the defense.
Ooh.
This is going to be a good one. Where you at?
Where I'm from. Harrisburg, Michael Parsons, the favorite to win defense player of the year. I'm giving that defense for the Cowboys. Parsons gets busy, so does his defense. And then Stephon Gilmore holding it down.
Let it roll, let it roll, let it roll. Shady and I have been on one accord the last 3. Cowboys defense right now playing at the highest of high levels. Stephon Gilmore, he's traveling with the best wide receiver. Expect Stephon Gilmore to cover Stephon Diggs. Stephon versus Stephon, we're going to see who's going to win that one. Now, Shady, I'm most interested in this one. Who's your X factor?
Yes, last week this kid had a great game. He showed the world who he is, what he's done in this league. Let me reintroduce myself. My name is Gilly, Stephon Gilmore, baby, X Factor. Wherever Stephon Diggs go, I will be there. If you're in the bathroom, I'm gonna wait till you get done, and I'm back up on you.
There.
I'm going with Gilly. Let's get it.
I like it. I like it. I like it. For me, it's somebody on the other side.
Ooh,
of the Buffalo Bills. It's got to be Gabe Davis.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
Shady is right. Stephon Gilmore is gonna follow Stephon Diggs everywhere he goes. It might be to the bathroom stall. It might be to 7-Eleven. It might be to your local grocery store. He's gonna trail him. So now it comes down to this, Gabe Davis, can you beat Deron Bland? Can you beat Deron Bland? If you 13 can beat 2-6, then the Bills will have a very, very, very good day. For me, the game's going to come down to Gabe Davis, because Shady's right. Stephon Gilmore, you call him Gilly for a reason. He's locked down. 2-5, let's get to the death, big dog.
Hand off.
You know, I never took a hand off, big dog.
You like a little tailback? Okay.
Nine through seventh grade. Let's get to it. Joy, who do you think has the edge in this game?
Oh, it's tough for me because the Cowboys have been playing better for longer. They look like the more complete team. They're playing with a lot of confidence. Dak Prescott's playing at an MVP level. But it is in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Tough place
that
to play.
Matters.
It's cold up there.
It's cold.
I'm very torn on this. I'm giving kind of a weak answer because if I have to pick an edge, which you're going to make me do, I'm going to say the Cowboys. Yeah. I do think that there is something to a team having their back against the wall. The Bills know how important this is, but that can go either way. You can step up to the occasion or you can press, which So at certain points for Josh Allen has been a problem. So I really don't know how this game is going to go. I would tend to think that the Cowboys would keep rolling, keep playing at the level that they're playing at, and get a good win on the road. But Josh Allen and the Bills need this win desperately. And they played a good game. The other part of it is, I'm being very wishy-washy. Like, you know what I mean? If he's not, like, over there when the line is here, they lose that game.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? He was 4K offside.
Well, they had a chance to get the ball back, though.
Yeah, Allen would have got the ball back. Yeah,
would they have won?
Something left. I mean, you see him in Kansas City when he has a couple seconds left. He do deliver.
He does, yeah. 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 I don't know.
I mean,
so I'm going to say Cowboys.
Yeah. I'm taking the Cowboys as well in this one strictly because they playing better. But I think Pinky said it best, right? Friday. Josh got me scared. He do. I mean, Josh is like that. I mean, I do not disagree with Shady and you both taking Josh Allen at the quarterback spot, even though Dak Prescott is playing at an MVP level. I do have a bone to pick about the head coach because Coach Mike turned around two organizations. Yes, he turned around the Cowboys too. 12 wins. Just keep on going. You know what I'm saying?
And now he got
Dak Prescott playing at an MVP level. But you play. I ride for Mike because I play for him. You play for my man. But the Cowboys are just a hotter football team right now.
They are.
And it's something about being a hot football team, but not just on the offensive side of the ball, not just on the defensive side of the ball, not just play calling, not just defensive calling, special teams. They just clicking as a whole. And that travels, right? One of those is going to travel. Either the defense is about the ball or the offense is about the ball. But they're just playing extremely good football right now. The Buffalo Bills, we talked about roller coaster. They've been on a roller coaster all season long. And, yes, the roller coaster can be at a high point this Sunday, and something can happen. But I like the Cowboys in this one.
You know, you said they're a hot football team, but the weather can do that. They can cool that off real quick.
Hey, like, I played in the cold.
We don't put enough credit and respect on that weather.
No doubt.
Dallas is 15-0 in their last 15 home games. Andy, off camera, please correct me if I am wrong. But you got to go to Buffalo. Y'all know, Shady knows what it's like playing in Buffalo. For context, when you used to playing in Dallas, you chilling. The weather's great. You play in, all those teams are great. When you got to go to Buffalo, you probably going to have to put on the wetsuit.
Yeah.
That wetsuit is what many swimmers and wakeboarders and surfers, they put on. You don't have to put on the wetsuit.
Or the hoodie.
Or the hoodie. You're going to have to wear the latex glove before you wear the real glove. Yeah. And then you're going to try to have to insulate your hands with Vaseline and the latex glove. Then
all over your whole body. All over your body. Everywhere. Like,
you're going to have to insulate.
Yeah.
Put on, like, you're going to have to change everything. Weather right now, 42 with a large percent chance of rain.
They blessed.
They blessed. But
hold
on.
But they don't want that rain.
But time out. The rain, though, and the wind in Buffalo is different.
That's right.
It gets so cold. Yeah. I've been there, and I hate to even say this, but I won't even say about me. Other teams, especially Miami, all them teams play inside and warm. They come there, they don't even want to play. They don't want to hit the ground. Yeah. They don't want to tackle. Man. They're going to have all type of long sleeve double socks.
Listen here.
You get an advantage.
Listen here. We was good in Green Bay for a long time, and everybody like, home field advantage. I'm like. Me in this dome. Well, we get it done on the road.
Let's talk about this one, James Jones. Right now, Dak Prescott, he is the MVP favorite.
Yes.
He has been balling for the last several weeks, but the entire body of work this season also says that he's balling, even when you include the bad games. On pace for 40 touchdowns, America, 8 interceptions. But it could come to an end.
Yep.
Sunday, Buffalo Bills. Is Sunday a must-win for Dak's MVP case?
Absolutely. I mean, and we said this before he even hit this stretch. We said Jalen coming. Josh is around the corner. Tua's around the other corner, right? This is a stretch to where you can leave no doubt. No doubt that I am the MVP. Beat Jalen, I'm going to beat Josh Allen, and then I'm going to beat Tua to leave no doubt. But this is huge for the MVP. But not only that, we talk about the Buffalo Bills' backs being against the wall. This is big for the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. You're 10-3. The Niners are 10-3. The Eagles are 10-3. So one slip up, you're the number one seed if you handle business, you know? None of these wins in these leagues are guaranteed. We've seen the Cardinals beat the Cowboys. We've seen a bunch of teams, seen the Jets beat the Eagles. We've seen a bunch of teams win on any given Sunday. So one slip-up could mean everything comes through Dallas the way you've been playing in Dallas. So their backs have to be against the wall. He has to play at an MVP level, but this is big because if you let Josh Allen outdo you, it's going to be some questions. Is he really that dude?
Well, the other thing is, the Niners play the Cardinals this week.
Mm-hmm. So then they play the Ravens. So somebody.
Well, yes, but I'm saying like if Dak slips up this week, Purdy is likely going to look really good this week, and he's right there with him in this MVP race. I'm gonna say no, because there's still a few games left to play. I really want to see what that Ravens-Niners game looks like. Keep in mind, Lamar Jackson is lurking around there as well. We're not talking about him a lot because their offense isn't looking exactly, he's not looking exactly like probably he did when in his MVP year, so he might be a victim of his own success in that way. I'm going to say no because it's still so tight. Yeah. There's still a lot that can happen in these last few games. I think he does need to win the game. Yeah. It doesn't mean he has to have a crazy statistical game. I think if he wins the game, he'll stay right there with him despite how things go with Purdy and Arizona. But I'm going to say that he can just win the game. It's got to go like that.
It's interesting. Left side of the table got me thinking 2-5 because a lot of voters think like Shady. And what do I mean by that? If you turn on the tape, Dak Prescott and Josh Allen don't look the same.
No.
Because Josh Allen makes plays that quite literally his body are only capable of making. But if you look at the numbers, Dak Prescott's like, come on now. You can't touch me, Josh Allen. In the event Dak loses this game somehow and Josh Allen goes out there and balls, 4 touchdowns, no interception, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, all of a sudden, voters are going to say, come on, man. I know Dak is having a better season, but what about Josh? And I remind you, America, remember this. Josh Allen finished 2nd in MVP, and he finished 3rd in MVP 2 of the last 3 years. So voters are already accustomed to filling Josh Allen's name out on that ballot. They want to vote for Josh Allen. He finished 2nd. He finished 3rd. He's coming. 2-5, what you mentioned? You think Dak Prescott has to win MVP?
All these voters give all that credit. Won't they vote for more than just the quarterback? Mm. Anyway, what was you asking me?
Is Sunday a must-win for Dak's MVP case?
You know, if he wins this Sunday in a good fashion on the road against a really good team and a really, really good quarterback, he got this thing sewn up. Because I had Tyreek Hill as my MVP front runner, but he's banged up with an injury. So I got to go to Dak, right? Purdy's still in the race, but I think Brock is not on the level of Dak right now. He's playing, right? So I would give it to him. If he wins this game, he's 95% this thing wrapped up.
Well, speaking of Dak Prescott, really, this is the most shocking thing I've heard this season. Dak might reset the quarterback market with a brand new contract. But remember, Cowboys got to pay Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. Mm-hmm. Is Bill Belichick on his way out? And Mike Tomlin, the Pittsburgh paper, they said that he might get fired. Mm-hmm. We're going to break down all of the top storylines on the other side of this commercial break. You're going to want to come back to hear all these details.
Imagine Dak being the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, family? I'm here with my dog, Jordan Schultz, Bleacher Report's NFL insider, friend of the show. First and foremost, that double-breasted suit.
I had to do it for you today.
My God, I love it. I love it. Well, look, that suit looks like money, so let's talk about money. Dak Prescott, Schultz, he is a front-runner for MVP, but I'm hearing the streets are talking he might be the highest-paid quarterback this offseason. True, false? Talk to me about it.
We're saying big facts, baby. Ooh. You know why? Because he's going to get between 55 and 60 million. Now, we already seen Joe Burrow get that 55 number. Dak Prescott has an opportunity to reset it. I think the floor is around 55. Remember, both sides highly motivated. And don't forget, he has a no trade and no tag clause. He has all the leverage. I was just at owners meetings in Dallas. There is no question that both Dak and Dallas, Jerry, want to get that thing done.
Okay, break this down for me. How are the streets speaking in this matter? Because remember, the first time it was time to pay Dak, the Cowboys, they tarried, they delayed, paid Zeke first. Now you're telling me they're going to cut a check to make him the highest paid in the NFL?
Right in that class, absolutely. And over the last 8 games, 25 total touchdowns, 2 picks. He's playing like an MVP. He has an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And he's a Dallas Cowboy quarterback in the sense of Staubach and Aikman. That's the type of season he's having, and he has earned it. And remember, we don't see great quarterbacks go to free agency. If he doesn't get paid, he becomes a free agent after next season at around 31 years old.
Yeah.
That does not happen. That's not going to happen.
Okay, last, break this down for me. Micah Parsons, he's set to become the highest paid defender in the history of the sport. Shout out Harrisburg. But also, CeeDee Lamb, you got to pay him. How does Dak's money slow down Parsons' money?
Well, remember, they didn't pay CeeDee last year when he was eligible. Now he's about to have, this is his fourth season.
Okay.
It'd be very hard not to pay him. They could wait to pay Micah.
Okay.
Either way, both of those guys are about to get massive bags. You mentioned Dak. They pushed it down the road. Now they're in this position where they don't really have an option but to pay him.
Yeah.
So he has all the leverage. Make no mistake, CeeDee and Micah are getting their bag. It's just a matter of when. Again, they pushed CeeDee down to this year. This is his fourth year. It would probably be more sensible to pay him, but they got to pay Micah as well, and that's going to happen.
Okay, the next story we're going to talk about was so shocking that I had to text you as soon as I heard it. Now, remember, Pittsburgh, they lost, and what did we read after? Pittsburgh Gazette said, is the Steelers' Mike Tomlin era nearing its end? On top of that, Big Ben Roethlisberger, future Hall of Famer, he chimed in, and he said, maybe the tradition of Pittsburgh Steelers is done. You know the inside scoop. Is Mike Tomlin out of there?
Absolutely not, America. Mike Tomlin, what, the third coach in like 60-something years? I mean, Steelers fans have become spoiled. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They almost ran Bill Cowher out of town because he couldn't win the big one.
Mm-hmm.
He wins the Super Bowl. They bring in Tomlin. He wins the Super Bowl. He is a Hall of Fame coach. If he were to leave, it would be because of his own volition. And make no mistake, there would be a laundry list of teams that would sign up to get Mike Tomlin. He is a great coach. Not good, great. He's a leader of men. He's never had a losing season. And even this year, they had something essentially unprecedented where they fired their OC,
yeah,
Matt Canada, in season. They've had kind of a roller coaster year. They're still in the playoff hunt. And Mike Tomlin, and when I look at it, is not going anywhere. And it's crazy to think he is.
Let's talk about the most important asset in all of pro sports, the number one overall pick. See, the number one overall pick is the most important asset in all of sports because it can change a franchise's trajectory. The Bears, they hold the number one overall pick courtesy of the Carolina Panthers, but they also hold possession of Justin Fields, number one on his jersey. You think that the Bears will move on from Justin Fields so that they can draft a quarterback like Caleb Williams? Talk to me about this one.
I don't think a decision has been made. I think it's a week to... He's just macking me with that preseason bet. In the last 17 games, Shady, Fields... In the last 17 games...
Shady, come up here now. Let's see who the man we're talking to. Who are we talking to?
3,000 yards passing, 1,200 rushing yards. He's in his third year, bro.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's cool and all that. You had a chance to get Caleb Williams. Cool. You gonna get him? Or you gonna stay with this guy that has good moments?
Hey, what is he? Talk you out of it.
Come up.
Last 17 games, 3,000.
Yeah,
1,200.
Yeah. Come on, man. 8-26, though, right?
I mean, he hasn't had a ton of help. I believe, hold on.
We've seen
it over the last month. We've seen a rejuvenated Fields with DJ Moore. Eberflus has, they're back. I'm not saying they're a playoff team, but they're one game out. They haven't had a great quarterback.
This is the power with Justin Fields. He does it to y'all every time, and y'all all believe it.
No,
he plays trash the whole year.
He just mad if Ohio State didn't offer.
That's it.
Is that the truth?
I had over 7-8.
Is that the truth?
I don't know. And that was Texas. Right. Only one school. Anyway.
Hey, don't let him take you off.
They had Beanie Wells.
Okay.
See how that worked out. Anyway, listen real quick. Yo, he does it all year. He looks bad all year and give you some good games, and now y'all want to believe it. He does it every year. Look. Him and Zach Wilson's in the same boat.
No, sir.
That is
same boat.
Shady.
One dude's a little more athletic and a little better.
We'll revisit this.
Yeah.
We will revisit this.
Okay.
Schultz, why hasn't a decision been made from the managerial perspective? What do you hear?
I mean, if you think about it, Kevin Warren didn't hire Matt Eberflus.
Who's Kevin Warren?
That's the president of the Bears. He didn't hire Matt Eberflus.
Okay.
And Justin Fields is only going into year four next year, so you could still get him at a pretty reasonable number, years 4 and 5. And I have no problem with that. Now, I'm not saying Caleb Williams isn't great or Drake May or Michael Penix, whoever you like, but Marvin Harrison is a once-in-a-generation receiver, yeah, right? We're hearing Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson. If you can get him at one, we know they're going to have the first pick with them from the Panthers. Why not say to Justin Fields, let's give you another opportunity year four and give you a chance with this year two with Eberflus to win some ball games because they're finally having an identity. Remember, when they went to the Super Bowl, they had Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
When they won a Super Bowl, they had Vic Mann. They've never had a great quarterback. I still believe that Justin Fields could be that guy. Now, I know Shady doesn't, but I am hell-bent on it.
Hey, I love it.
There's no comparison, Marvin Harrison Jr. to James Jones?
Hey, yeah.
Name ain't sliding.
You don't have to. You don't have to pay him. You can years 4 and 5 is a reasonable number.
Uh-huh.
Wait. Reasonable number is in like give him some money? I'm lost.
No, he already under contract.
Not for year 5.
This is going into year 4.
Okay.
So you can still make a decision to pick up that option.
What was the preseason bet?
The preseason bet was that they would win, I think, 9 games
in the playoffs.
9 games, and that he would have 5,000 total yards. He was hurt, though. He was hurt.
You said 5,000 yards, and you said playoffs. That was the bet.
But who's going to win the bet?
Me. He's going to win.
I'm always going to
win. I'm
going
to take in the car ball.
You get one of them, though.
I'm going to get one of them.
Which one are you going to make?
Yeah. You know
this is my thing, though. You talk about generational talent, though. What the heck is Caleb Williams?
I'm not a quarterback guru.
But I'm saying that's what he is, though.
Talked about like Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck.
Exactly.
Yes,
that's what I see. I see that type of greatness.
He also lost to some good college teams.
And I see some type of Patrick Mahomes in him, right? At this age.
Well, I will tell you this.
Crazy.
I talked to Cliff Kingsbury, who's had him at USC. He had Mahomes, he had Mayfield, he had Manziel. He did tell me that Caleb Williams has as much talent as anyone, maybe next to Mahomes.
You need him to tell you. See, this is the thing. Hold. See, he is
he's with him every day.
I know. So it's like it's more believable. But when I tell you that, you don't believe it. You see what I'm saying?
I feel
the same thing he said.
You got to talk about it.
You told me before the season that Dak was trash.
No,
Dak
ain't never looked like this. Can you say that?
No, I didn't.
Dak ain't never looked like this.
It ain't never going to happen.
Hey, don't break it out.
That's my boy.
I got to read the teaser.
Oh, my bad.
Do your thing.
Do your thing. When we return, Eagles, they have seen better days, but are we confident they can get back on track? Schultz, you the man, big dog. Thanks for all the inside scoop.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We're in overtime, family. Eagles, they were on top of the NFC, but now they've lost 2 games in a row. And I will be honest, after reading a particular Nick Sirianni quote, I am not confident that the Eagles are going to get back on track. Bring us on camera, please. I got to talk to the Eagles' all-time rushing leader. Let me see if
that
I can
me.
Talk to your heart,
that
Shady.
Is me.
Shady, I don't think the Eagles are going to get back on track, not the Super Bowl track. And here's the reason. Nick Sirianni, he went to his presser today. You know I follow all of the Eagles beat reporters still, so I'm very in tune with what's going on the ground there. And he said something that it made me go, wait a second, I don't like this. Reading at home, you can read some of it. I'll just paraphrase. He says, we're fortunate to have receivers that can get open one-on-one. I'm going to cut to the bottom. See, you use that luxury, and we've been pretty successful with some of those plays that we've had to go about doing. He's essentially saying in this quote that because he has such talented receivers one-on-one, you don't have to put an emphasis on scheme because your receivers can win. But just because your receivers can win doesn't mean you should force your receivers to win. Mm. I was thinking about it this morning. I don't think it's a coincidence that the 3 teams the Eagles have lost to all have top 5 cornerback tandems. Mm. You got the Jets. You got the Niners. You got the Cowboys. See, against the Giants, against the likes of the Commanders, against lower-tier teams that don't have as talented rosters, the Eagles don't have to win with talent and scheme because they can win with talent. But what do the Eagles do when the opposition has just as much talent as you do, particularly able to mitigate the strength of your wide receiving core? Then you need scheme to step in. Shady, the reason I don't think the Eagles are going to get back on track is because they have the curse of the gifted. And the gifted is A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are so talented that the coaches don't have to excel in scheme because their receivers can win. Think about what lost the Eagles the Super Bowl last year. Andy Reid said, you know what? Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, they can't win one-on-one. So what am I going to do? I'm going to scheme them up to win one-on-one. Motion, ghost motion. Speed motion, quick motion. But the Eagles don't have to do that because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith can win one-on-one.
They need to do that.
Until you got to see Gilmore every single snap or Tre'Davious Ward every single snap or Sauce Gardner, Sam's Lane Johnson every single snap. I'm not confident the Eagles get back on track the more I think about it.
Yeah, I think they can get back on track. I mean, certain games, they've showed some creativity, right? Even the Chiefs game. Right? Up and down game in the first half, second half, what they do? They needed a spark. They needed a boost. What they do? They went to Swift.
right? They had two running backs in the game. They faked the running back to Boston Scott, and they had Swift come on the sweet sweep. Like, they got some ways to be creative. So when you talk about the wide receivers, the blessing of that is we don't have to do as much window dressing because we do have the number one receivers. So all I ask, right, from Nick is just give us a little something, right? Put these guys in position to win. I know it's easy to go out there and say, hey, I got Smith on this side, I got AJ, who's a freaking dog on this side. Go win. That's the easiest way to do it. But I think you could simplify a little bit more and give them a chance to win and make it easier for them, right? I think the way that the Niners use Debo, Ayuk, like, it makes it easier for them. And then there's times where it's not easy, and they make it happen. So I just ask that maybe we get a little bit more creativity with our offense, right? And then scheme out a little bit. Let these boys, take the pressure off of Jalen Hurts as much. Take some of that off. Let them young boys go out there and play.
Yeah. See, I don't have confidence the Eagles is going to bounce back. And this really hits home for me because that's how we were treated. Myself, Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, we was all on the same team. And it was line up and play because we better than you. Point blank period. One-on-one, somebody's going to win. I understand all that because they've shown you that they can win consistently. But then it became a time to where Patrick Peterson and Darrell Revis and those boys started watching film. Oh, this is what they do on third down. Oh, these is the plays they like to do on second down. Oh, these is their favorites on first down. And it was times to where we got in breakers. We like in breakers on first down. They inside leverage. What are we going to do? As good as you may think I am, as good as you may think Greg Jennings is winning one, there's really nothing to do. And for AJ especially on the outside, when a corner is inside leverage on you like Stephon Gilmore was and you're outside the numbers, you got two routes, G.
That's it.
It's a go or stop. And Stephon Gilmore know that. And you think you finna beat these elite corners on that? No. Is Tyreek Hill a number one receiver?
Absolutely.
He all over the place. He at the wing back. He at the H back. He at the slot receiver. He motioning this way. He coming over. They moving him. Is Deebo Samuel number one? Is C.D. Lamb a number one? They're moving these boys around, and it's not to move so you can win. It's move to create space for you. If Deebo right. got 2 yards of separation because I created space, it's a tough tackle. Yeah. Same thing with A.J. Brown and those boys. So just be creative to create some space for those boys to win. But it sounds like they're not going to change, and we stuck in our own ways, and that is why I do not have confidence
see, this
in
my
you
thing,
going
real
into
quick.
Seattle.
I'm not saying you need a big change, but for small things like the flat curl concept.
But that sounds like you the can, boys got to win.
But I'm saying you could do all that and put it in bunch formation. You
can
get the same.
Shady.
You can get the same place for so many different
Shady,
players.
That's all I'm asking. And I'm asking the same thing with you, Shady, but it sounds like Nick is like, no, you've been winning, win.
You've been winning.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, they were winning,
but
they just lost back-to-back games to the other two best teams in the conference. So if you want to triple down on that, be my guest. I wouldn't recommend it because everyone sees the same thing, and I would hope, I would assume that they see it as well. They're smart guys. They've done a lot of winning during the regular season and in the postseason last year. So make the adjustment. You have four games coming up that are absolutely winnable games. You can build an identity. You can build confidence and momentum heading into the postseason. Go do it. Just like the Cowboys had the opportunity to prove who they were, and they've been doing it, just like the Niners have. Go do it. You have the ground in front of you to do it, and starting this weekend on the road. But they're banged up at the quarterback position. They haven't been playing well lately. This is a win if you go and play at the standard, which we know that they have the capability of playing, even if we haven't seen it consistently this year.
Here's my fear, though, Joy, and this has truly been my fear all season long. Shady, it's been my fear all season long, James, is the Eagles got away with it.
Yes.
That's why, every time I was so concerned, I didn't want the Eagles to blow teams out because it's college and I cared about style points. I'm looking and I'm like, they will win the next four of these games if they don't improve because their players are just better.
Yeah.
You can go to Seattle and you can win because your players are just better. You can go to New York and you can win because your players are just better. You can go to New York again and you can go to Arizona and win because your players are just better. But when you play a team whose players are as good, now all of a sudden you have to work on skills you haven't worked on. Yeah. That's why I'm looking at these Eagles and I'm concerned because Nick Sirianni, I had to watch the quote three different times. It wasn't a quote when I watched it. I listened to it. And he was like, yeah, I mean, we do a couple things, but we're fortunate enough to have the luxury of having guys that can win. Yeah, until they can't.
Yeah. But even that, though, so, I know what this is right here.
What's up?
All you, other than Joy, want to just beat on my ego.
No. Right?
No.
Let's just keep it real. So it's only been one game that we lost and we really couldn't do nothing, right? In Cowboy game, we lost the game, but we beat them, too. We beat the they beat us, we beat them. I mean, and you got two good teams in the same conference. Normally, the home team wins, correct? The Jets team, we lost a bad Jets team. Okay, it happens, right? Cowboys lost to the Cardinals. It happens. Minnesota beat the 49ers. Yep. It happens. The Niners is the only team that really just handed us a whooping, and it wasn't no division. Yeah. Best of best, we beat you at your house. So I get that. That's a real whooping. But don't act like A.J. Brown ain't A.J. Brown.
He is.
Smith ain't Smith. Like, we are them guys still. We just having a bad patch, and we all, hold up, through football, our careers, we all had a bad couple of weeks.
But the thing
for me is, slump.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, remember, A.J. Brown against the Niners had 140 yards, if I'm not mistaken. But against the Cowboys, he had 90 yards. I'm not saying that it's bad. What I'm saying is A.J. has to work too hard.
Dude, that's the
that's all I'm saying. AJ has to work too hard.
But that did work to beat the Cowboys. They're a good team.
But I can't just look at wins and losses.
Oh, you can't?
The reason I can't is because the Cowboys have outgained exponentially the Eagles in both games and have had a better offense than the Eagles in both games. Now, in one game, Cowboys, Dak Prescott, his foot stepped out of bounds, and Cowboys tight end, I think it was Schoonmaker, he got tackled for 1 yard. So,
what is all that?
What that's saying is like, I can't just say you won, you lost. I'm like, well, how does it look? How does it look?
It's hard, man. And we all know, I mean, like Bosa said, gave you the blueprint, right? But I just want to talk on the outside. The very first game, that it started happening, the Kansas City Chiefs said, we are going to take Snead, and he's going to follow.
Well, Snead's balling.
No question.
Okay.
But Acho brought up the point about good corners and good players, right? So they had Snead follow A.J. everywhere. A.J. is a receiver on the outside of the numbers, a big-time receiver. We had him in the MVP conversation.
Come on, A.J. Brown, A.J. Brown.
But that is extremely hard, and I'm talking from experience to where you got Richard Sherman inside leverage on you, and I got to go or stop. He know that. Or if I do got an in-breaker,
good
I
luck.
Can't get jammed up on TV. You know what I'm saying? Trying to fight my way to get inside. So shorten the splits. Move them in motion. It's hard for people to follow with all that.
That's all I'm saying.
But since that game, the Kansas City game, they ain't changed nothing. He went into the Niners game with that, caught a couple slants and running the ball, but it was a lot of targets that he had to where you can't even put the ball in these certain spots for Jalen. And the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be tough on
him. I hear you.
Make it easier.
I hear you, and I agree. Make it easier. But at the end of the day, at the worst of the worst, we were 10-3 tied for the best
record. No question.
So something we've been doing, been working. It ain't been great, but it's been working.
But the way you've been playing, it's like you'll be 10-4. That's all I'm saying.
I know, but you was rocking with, now you're not. Anyway, the main thing's the main thing.
What's that?
The main thing is the main thing. I see you doing it. Hold on now. This suit.
Before it was saying we're the best team of football, and now it's like, okay.
Not in my good suit.
Well, the Chiefs have been one of the best teams in football over the last half decade, but how worried should we be? Travis Kelce cursing on his podcast. Patrick Mahomes, he cursing the refs out. Andy Reid, he called the refs out. Are the Chiefs in trouble with the Broncos one game back? That's next on Speak.
The Big Ray curse?
Big Ray don't do no cursing.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Family, we're in a hurry-up offense. Chiefs, they've lost two straight and they're three out of their last four. The Broncos are only one game back. Get that in the AFC West. Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, they have all struggled, and Travis Kelce is tired of hearing from the media about it. Y'all got to take a listen to this.
There's a lot of media pointing fingers at some of the skill players that we have. I say that, and excuse my language. We usually cuss in lighthearted ways, but this is I felt like you guys had to feel that, whoever's talking on the skill players in our offense right now, man. It's this is a group effort, and when you turn the film on, what's real is that we got guys that can play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, Trey.
Sound off, Joy Taylor. How do you feel about that? You worried about the Chiefs?
To that media.
I'm not worried about the Chiefs, actually. I'm really not. I feel you, though. I feel. We felt it. Obviously, we're talking about it, so we felt it. Fear is like a big word. Worried, concerned, panic. We keep putting all these words on the team that has the best quarterback in football, the best coach in football, and one of the best offensive weapons that we've seen in the history of the game in Travis Kelce, who just told us to R-E-L-A-X in his own way.
He didn't say that.
He put a little extra on it. He put a little sauce on it.
He said it.
In his own way. But no, because listen, at the end of the day, none of us would be surprised if they were in the Super Bowl game this year. Not surprised. We would be interested in how it all came to be, but we would not be surprised. This is a team that has a lot of success, has a history of success. They can pull it together. And once they get to the postseason, what's stopping them from getting to the AFC Championship game? Yeah.
The only reason I'm worried is because things whisper before they roar. And right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are emotionally whispering. When do you ever see Travis Kelce with that temperament off of the field?
Yeah.
On the field, all day. He's passionate. Off the field, rarely ever. Mind you, he stopped down to say, hey, I don't say this often, but bleep, 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 bleep. When do you ever, ever, ever see Patrick Mahomes curse out a ref?
Yeah.
Got to be held back. Most when does Andy Reid ever go to a podium and chastise referees? Yeah. It doesn't happen. The Chiefs are emotionally unraveling. Now, will the emotional unraveling translate to physical unraveling? Time will tell. But, James, I'm worried because this looks different than the composed Chiefs we used to see.
I'm worried just because the way they're playing football, period. Like, Travis Kelce, we ain't jumping down your throat or we ain't calling out, but the way that you guys is playing football right now is not good at all, right? You go against the Eagles, you score 0 points in the second half, right? Zero. In the second half. I mean, you can't blame that on the defense, the refs, none of that. You score zero. Then you go to the Packers, and you look terrible.
Yep.
Right? Against Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And then we've seen how the offense and you guys look last week against the Buffalo Bills. So, for me, they're not playing good football right now. And it's other teams that is playing really good football right now and getting hot at the right time. I'm worried about Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and the Kansas City.
That was a Swifty F-bomb right there, wasn't it?
You on your Swifty today, man.
Yeah, man, I'm just showing love. I mean, I'm not really worried about the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs we talking about, right? I think that for us, for them to be 8-5, they've never been there before, right? So that is a little different. That is concerning. I just think that the leadership from Travis Kelce, bettering his teammates, encouraging them, Patrick Mahomes doing the same thing, and they're so good of a players, and then Andy Reid. One thing about this Chiefs organization, man, is that they're ran the right way from the top to the bottom. So I think eventually they'll figure this thing out. It's just a matter of the young receivers they have growing, right? Growing and getting that experience.
Would you say they need to shake it off?
Shake it off.
Would you say that Travis Kelce has bad blood with the media?
Ain't that
James, you're up.
I'm up. Yeah. Bad blood? What you talking about? I don't know that. I mean, don't put me on the Taylor Swift and songs.
Yeah, he can't
rock with him, man.
It's just Swifty out of here. Us.
Hey, I guess I'm out now. Don't count me in this bracelets. Thing. No more.
I'm going to the tour. I'm going off tomorrow. I'm going to the concert.
He said shake it off. He said red blood or something. I'm looking at you like, hold on. What are we talking? Another topic?
My God. Well, when we returned, there was bad blood in Milwaukee between the Pacers yesterday. I've never seen Giannis Antetokounmpo act like this. And we will respond. The Greek freak freaked out. That's next.
You better give him that smoke like Draymond Green smoke. I better see it.
I can't wait for this.
Giannis Antetokounmpo got out of character yesterday. Well, on the court, first off, dropping 64 points, setting a Milwaukee Bucks record. But then after the game, y'all, he sprints into the tunnel, chasing not a person, but the game ball.
That ball.
The Indiana Pacers kept the game ball, and Giannis runs irate and furious into the tunnel looking for the game ball. Joy, I've never seen him act like this in my life. Yeah. In my life.
Oh, this is my
that smoke, too.
This is my ball. Favorite thing that's happened in
Look at
weeks.
Buddy, he pushed me out.
Oh, my God. Giannis, we got people for this, my guy. We got so many people. We could have sent, like, a dancer. We could have sent an in-arena DJ. Like, we got equipment people. You won't got to do all
He said, I gotta go get my ball.
Yeah. That part, he gonna say, and the ball I have, I don't think it's the break.
Yeah.
How you know?
Hey, listen. When my first, look at him. Look at him. He said, give me that ball.
Turn this dog up.
I need that ball.
I watched this video 50 times.
Why the trainer going for a ride?
That's wild, though.
Yo, it's funny. So unserious. Like, Giannis, we got people for this.
That is funny.
Yo, y'all can hang with any show. Y'all hang with us. We appreciate it.
Oh,
tomorrow.
My God.